Good morning, Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. This is Pastor Tony. Let us now give our hearts and minds to God in worship, praise, meditation, confession, and to the service of the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Moment for reflection. Think about this. Complete this sentence, the first part of Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after is, what would it be? In other words, if there is one thing you desperately want right now from the Lord, what would it be? If one sentence could be spoken of you at the end of your life, what would you want it to be? Your reply will tell everybody and God what your choices and priorities are, how you use your time, how you respond to pressure, and whom or what you love. It's worth thinking about. Your one thing is important. How many of you would seek something spiritual in nature? Or would you seek something like material wealth, riches, or fame? Would you seek something that is temporary, something you can't take with you into the next life? Recall the time God came to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give thee." Do you recall how Solomon replied to God? Solomon didn't ask for riches, but asked for wisdom and knowledge that he could lead the great people of God. David tells us what his one thing would be, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David wanted to dwell in the presence of the Lord, his number one priority. David wanted to look upon the Lord's splendor and glory and learn the heart and ways of the Almighty. With a confronting, convicting, cleansing love, God continued to pursue and restore David. Is this not the reason why we worship, to be in the presence of the Lord? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I exist for one reason alone, to bring God glory. We were created for his pleasure. Only in fulfilling his grand purpose for our lives do we discover true significance and meaning. This is our life in a nutshell. And there could be no higher, more magnificent calling of God. I know we have many distractions every day, but make an effort to think about why you are here. Evaluate your life in the context of your purpose God has assigned to you. As we daily engage with one another, ask yourself, am I bringing pleasure to God or to myself? Whatever we are doing, we must go beyond whether we look good. We must ask, do our actions make God look good? This is why reading, hearing, and listening to the Word in whatever form, preaching, song, or poetry, is vital. To bring glory to God, we must be ever ready to readjust our life as the Word directs us. For example, we can't please God without walking by faith. When we strive to live holy, we please God. When we suffer for the cause of Christ, God is pleased. When we decide to suffer a wrong rather than striking back in vengeance, we are pleasing God. When we give ourselves to another who is grieving, we are pleasing God. When we minister to those who have lost their way or is seeking the right path, we are indeed pleasing God. When we seek a quiet place to meditate, reflect on the promises of God, or to examine whether we are still in the faith, or to pray, as in the calmness of the night, we are indeed pleasing our God. Father God, our Creator, Lord, Provider, Comforter, we come humbly to Thy holy throne. We know our presence here is through Jesus, our righteous Lord. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for giving us Your Son. Because of Jesus, we now have unhindered access to the Father. Draw us, O God, to Your throne each day. Thank You for purifying us in the holy waters that ever flows from Thy throne. Let us not wander off. Let us not seek comfort in none other than our Lord. Continue to lead us, O God, in the path of holy living, praise, and worship. Thank You, O God, for Jesus. Who else knows the pain we feel each day? Who else knows our struggle to stay righteous while we contend with daily temptations? Lord Jesus, be with us when we walk through the shadows of death. When we are in the midst of devils, be with us. When we are broken by failures, disappointments, anxiety, be with us. When family and friends betray, reject, and curse us, be with us. You promised to never leave us. Even so, in our weak moments, we become timid, confused, and feel abandoned. May this never be. O God, we know our personal sin keeps us outside Your holy presence. We confess our sins this moment. We know sin disrupts our sweet fellowship. We know our sin keeps us from doing Thy will. We know sin begets sin, producing in us a spirit of defiance. O God, teach us the way of repentance. Remove from our midst the unforgiving spirit. O God, we are trusting in the streaming blood of Jesus to wash us clean. May we stay devoted to the obedient life. Give us, O God, a contrite heart that will keep us from pursuing those things that brings us to shame. O God, lead us into living as holy disciples of our day. May our life be a redeeming testimony that will draw others to Jesus. May we be mindful that our living either draws others to Jesus or drives others to despise the way of godliness. O God, teach us to openly talk of Jesus. Give us a testifying tongue that others may know the man called Jesus is calling all souls to salvation. Let us be mindful, O God, we are to be holy vessels to bring deliverance to another. Let us be mindful, O God, we are the holy priest in this darkened world. Continue, O God, to keep Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. Bless our churches who are rising to the challenge to keep the nation informed that Jesus is Lord. Pour on us spiritual blessings that keep us proclaiming the gospel in the face of ungodliness. Bless each of our households. May unity, peace, healing, and goodwill be our daily companions. Thank you, O God, for all you do for us. We never beg for bread, for you are the ultimate provider. May the spirit of worship keep us unified, though we are isolated for a season. O God, our nation needs you. How long must we watch our young be gunned down? How long must we see the needy be trodden by heartless souls who worship the dollar? How long must we see the hungry begging in the land of milk and honey? How long must the righteous be cut down for sport while evildoers are gleeful in their evil deeds? O God, may righteousness return to our nation. May our leaders look to heaven for direction in rendering justice. May your wisdom, O God, be the ruler in all governing chambers. O God, touch now the sick and the shut-ins. So much illness prevails in the land, so much bodily pain, so much pestilence in our midst. O God, may your healing fall on every household. Comfort the bereaved, O God. How difficult for us to bid farewell to those we love. Thank you, O God, for Jesus, who defeated death. We thank you, O God, for death itself is ultimately thrown into the lake of fire. Be with the bereaved in their lonely moments, knowing they have only bid farewell and not a final goodbye. For the reunion of the saints is yet to come. Thank you for hearing our prayer, O God. We know every prayer we utter ever resides at the heavenly altar, providing the sweet aroma in your holy temple. Now, Father God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
For a few moments, let's consider this meditation theme, Jesus and his disciples of today. This message is one that should remind us what the mission of the church is. The saints are the disciples of today, continuing the ministry of Jesus. We see Jesus training his disciples on how to save souls. The church is given the task of ministering to the world, each generation extending the gospel to the next. Let's go to scripture and see Jesus in action, found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. From these passages, the disciples of today know what needs to be done. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Amen. The critical mission for all churches of Christ is to go outside the sheltered walls of the church and take the news of Jesus to those who hate God and love sin. Once outside the church walls, people may curse and despise you when the subject of Christ comes up, and when you plead with sinners to come out of the darkness. Who in their right mind would dare witness for God while being spit on? Who would dare risk his own life to compel sinners to come into the light of salvation while being laughed at and despised? I'll tell you, Jesus. He ministered beyond Jerusalem to bring life to dying sinners. Saints have their marching orders to go. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus' method of doing ministry was simple. He went out to the people. Jesus did not wait for sinners to come to him. Sinners are not told to go anywhere to be saved. The Bible says of Jesus, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Thus, the church, the disciples of today, are commanded, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Where was Jesus' place of ministry? We see Jesus going everywhere, to all the cities and villages, the countryside, the synagogues, on mountains, by the seashore, in boats, and even graveyards. In other words, the place of ministry of today is wherever you are and wherever you go. No place is off limit. Wherever the people are, that's where the ministry of the gospel is to take place. What was the work of Jesus' ministry? He labored in teaching, preaching, and healing. These elements of ministry are alive and well today, wherever the Great Commission is being fulfilled. To take away any of these would render the work of ministry incomplete. All ministry is grounded in the Word of God, not popular psychology. Positive thinking is not the gospel. Jesus crucified, buried, and resurrected is the gospel that will save sinners. It must never be compromised nor replaced by modern thinking. What is the message of Jesus' ministry? The gospel of the kingdom. King Jesus is salvation, God himself. Jesus came and went about preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The call to repentance is a must. Anything less is a distorted and corrupted message of the gospel of salvation. The disciples of today will follow in Jesus' footsteps and will suffer affliction and spiritually grow as did the original 12 disciples. The task of fulfilling the Great Commission is nothing less than it was during the ministry of Jesus. The times we live in makes sharing Christ just as dangerous as it was during the early days of the church in the book of Acts. But spiritual lives hang in the balance. If disciples of today remain silent, how many will descend down to the corridor of eternal judgment where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth? The mark of the disciples of today is their living testimony as a people of salvation. These are ready to give sight to those blinded by the God of this world, to be the light to those darkened in their words and deeds, and to proclaim truth to those who despise the wisdom of God. All this shows where the disciples of today must go in aims of tearing down Satan's kingdom. First, disciples of today must go to the place of total rejection. Let's not be mistaken here. The place of total rejection is the devil's territory. The devil will defend his territory with all the strength of his being. The place of total rejection is where those with darkened minds dwell. These have no shame in their hatred for God or anyone who comes in the name of the Lord. Disciples of today must risk being rejected to deliver those in bondage. Disciples of today, go and come to the place of total rejection in the authority of Jesus. Disciples of today will taste spiritual victory as did the original 12. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleaned and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Second, disciples of today must go to the place of absolute darkness. In this place, there is no joy, praise, or worship. In the place of absolute darkness, demonic influence rules. This is the place Jesus poured his compassion the most. Those living in the place of absolute darkness are under lock and key by wicked spiritual forces. Those living here are powerless to break the chains of wickedness. The disciples of today can save helpless captives by presenting themselves as a reservoir of compassion. Armed with compassion, disciples of today will not be satisfied watching the needy blindly walking down to eternal judgment. Jesus looked upon the multitude with compassion. He took aim to save them. Compassion is not pity, but is having empathy for those who are hurting and ministering in response. Have you watched relatives walk from God and not lift a finger? How many do you know personally that live in wickedness and you say nothing, even though you possess the truth of Jesus? Third, disciples of today must go and build redemption centers. Simply put, disciples of today are to be care agents. Care agents are laborers in Christ's redemptive work. What is your response when loved ones turn from God? Do you minister to those wavering in the faith? There is a harvest of souls who need saving, many in our immediate family. Disciples of today are to be a redemption center so the fallen can be spiritually rescued. In other words, when you find yourself in the presence of devils, you are to be a resource of redemption. The Holy Spirit enables you to be a divine vessel to turn another back to God. God charged all saints, some as pastors, elders, deacons, workers of miracles and hospitality, exhorters, counselors, drug advisors, mental health workers, teachers, and mentors. Disciples of today come from all walks of life and possess gifts of the Spirit to be ministers of the gospel wherever you are and in whatever you are doing. Hear God's word. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. My friends, take this with you. Do you have the compassion to be a disciple of today? Do you care about those lost in your family or immediate circle? What about those you call friends? Are they saved? Do you care enough to talk about Jesus with them? See, here is what I'm leading to. Saving souls are not limited to the huge, big churches with huge missionary budgets. As a matter of fact, we can be formidable disciples of today. In our own living space. Be a disciple of today. Reach out to one individual. Talk about Jesus. It's not up to you to convince anybody, But a disciple of today simply tells others of the good news. Let me tell you, when you share Jesus, you are in the place of total rejection, where devils roam. Be a reservoir of redemption to those in spiritual straits. Tell a hurting soul, I know a man called Jesus who will break the chains of sin in your life. This will transform you into a mighty disciple of today. Who are the disciples of today who turn wayward souls back to God? Is that you? Father God, thank you for your grace. Let us be your disciples of today who pull the spiritually dying from the pit of eternal judgment. Give us opportunity to be your care agents of the salvation of Jesus. We ask for these moments of worship and reflection to be planted in the good soil of our hearts. May the seed of your word blossom in us into an abundant spiritual harvest for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.